We are very familiar with the matter of prophetic interpretation and symbolism associated with the 2,300 years, 2,300 days in the book of Daniel, one day for a year. In the presentation this morning, it will be approximately half an hour for one year in prophetic interpretation, if you'd like to apply it that particular way. You might remember that on the previous occasion, we referred to the preparations for the usage of the big boat in an escape route for those who would like to enter upon it. That the Ark itself was as large as the Titanic, or the Queen Mary, or the largest cruise ships of today. And in measurement, it was almost a quarter of a mile long, constructed entirely of wood and no parts included. It was a huge megalithic structure, a massive project that required 120 years to construct. You might remember that the matter of entering the Ark is referred to in the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 7 verse 2 tells us, "You shall take seven pairs of every clean animal with you, the male and the female, unclean pairs also, as we know." I read in our writings, angels were sent to collect from the forest and the field the beasts which God had created, and they followed in two by two. The sky seemed to be clouded with birds of every description. They came flying into the ark, two by two, male and female. For 7 days, these animals and birds were coming into the ark. The world looked on with wonder and some with fear. Three steps to the book Spiritual Gifts, volume 3, page 76. In addition, Noah preserved seed and took it with him in the ark. I read on. An angel is seen by the scoffing multitude, descending from heaven, clothed with brightness like the lightning. The massive door was slowly swung into its place. Now we come to the actual events, circumstances, experience of the voyagers, the travelers in the big boat. Genesis chapter 7 verse 10 says quite clearly that the flood came after 7 days more with the people inside the ark. Genesis 7:10, 7 days later, a flood began to cover the earth. So as far as the entry of the ark was concerned, it took 7 days for all of the animals and birds to enter. And then when the door was closed and the animals and birds and the eight members of the family were in the boat, it took another 7 days before the flood came. 7 days were the family of Noah in the ark before the rain began to descend upon the earth. In this time, they were arranging for their long stay. And with such a massive ship, you can understand it would take a long while to get everything right. I continue reading. These were days of blasphemous merriment by the unbelieving multitude on the outside. It was a carnival. Now, when the rains began to fall, it took 6 weeks of continual monsoonal rain. Genesis 6:17, God says, "I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, and everything that is in the earth shall die." On the eighth day, the heavens gathered blackness. The muttering thunders and vivid lightnings began to terrify man and beast. The rain descended from the clouds above them. The beasts were roving, this is outside, the beasts were roving around in the wildest terror. The storm increased in violence until the water seemed to come from heaven like mighty cataracts. The foundations of the great deep also were broken up. Jets of water would burst forth from the earth with indescribable force, throwing massive rocks and hundreds of feet into the air, and then they would bury themselves deep into the earth. The violence of the storm increased. Trees, buildings, rocks, earth were hurled in every direction, and Satan himself feared for his own existence. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16 says, "The storm lasted 40 days and 40 nights, and it continued in its intensity rather than diminishing. 6 weeks. I read, "The ark was severely rocked and tossed about. The beasts within the ark expressed their wildest terror. Total noise for 6 weeks. Trying to sleep at night in a rocking boat, 6 weeks. Total seasickness for some of them. Animals and people vomiting everywhere. What a ride on the ocean." Now the first 5 months. For 5 long months, Patriarchs and Prophets 105, their boat was tossed about, apparently at the mercy of wind and wave. It was a trying ordeal. You can get on a huge passenger liner, one of these tourist boats, and if you've got smooth seas, you can ride pretty well. But that was not the case in this situation here. Not only was the boat rocked about and knocked about during the first 6 weeks of massive rainfall, but for a total of 5 months, this condition continued. For 5 long months, no rain falling, for 5 long months, their boat was tossed about, apparently at the mercy of wind and wave. It was a trying ordeal. The massive ark, almost a quarter of a mile long, the massive ark trembled in every fiber as it was beaten by the merciless winds and flung from billow to billow. How are you going to move a tourist ship and make it fling from billow to billow? It will defy the waves, excepting sometimes when they have a collision or when they turn one on the side or something like that. But nevertheless, this was a massive storm that after the rainfall had ceased for 5 long months, it continued to knock the boat around. The massive ark trembled in every fiber as it was beaten by the merciless winds, and it was flung from billow to billow. Have you ever been seasick? None of the family in the ark had ever been in a boat on water before. Non-stop seasickness for some of them for 5 months. Story of redemption. Angels that excel in strength guided the ark and preserved it from harm. What was the daily routine for these people there? They were on a giant cruise ship going nowhere. There was nowhere to go. No trained staff to help them, just the 8 people. No restaurants with exotic foods, no TV, no radio, no newspapers, no books, no magazines, no electronic games, no music, no hobbies, no sports, no telephones. Well, nobody to talk to on the telephone anyway. Every animal in its cages, no outdoor roaming, no sunshine, no exercise, just one huge mobile crammed up zoo. Every animal caged in its own small cage. There were elephants, horses, dogs, cats, kangaroos, ostriches, rats, lions, tigers, giraffes, deer, snakes, rhinoceros, koala bears, sheep, Tibetan yak, camels, penguins, lizards, tortoise, pigs, hippopotamus, crocodile, squirrel, platypus, reindeer, little birds, big birds, ostrich, guinea fowl, parrots, sparrows, spiders, crickets, bats, insects, etc. Ad nauseam. What was their daily routine? Give water and food every day for a little over a year. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, even every Sabbath. Every day, remove all that stinking, stuff by the ton. Every day, yesterday, today, tomorrow, every Sabbath, just the same. Now, time periods in summary. Genesis 7, 4 and 11 and 8, 14, says there clearly, the family was in the big boat 1 year and 17 days. In the time periods in summary, first week, the animals and birds entered the ark and the people. Second week, they were arranging everything in the boat. The first total 6 weeks, there was a massive, unparalleled, huge, uninterrupted storm. And when the storm was over, they still could not get out of the big boat. For the first 5 months, in summary, the big boat was still tossed about mercilessly. 3.5 months after the storm has abated, still being tossed about. Still stormy waters and not able to get out. For the next 7.5 months, they still did not get out. And instead of that, they had to stay aboard the big boat, which was floating around aimlessly. As the waters began to subside, the Lord caused the ark to drift into a spot protected by a group of mountains. The ark moved about in this quiet haven, and it was no longer driven by the boundless ocean. This gave great relief to the weary, tempest-tossed voyagers. I am sure that was very true. Now, what about the end of the journey? First of all, the ark was at rest. Genesis chapter 8, verse 3. The water steadily receded from the earth, and by the end of 150 days, 5 months if you like, the water had decreased significantly. Yeah, it had dropped below, in their area, the tops of the mountains. These mountains, now I'll read Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. On the seventh day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Not in the valley, down there where everything later on would be green and growing. This was still up at the tops of the mountains. This was many months after they had entered the boat. These mountains were but a little distance apart, and the ark moved about and rested upon one, and then another of these mountains, and was no more driven upon the boundless ocean. Anxiously did Noah and his family watch the decrease of the waters. He desired to go forth upon the earth again. The next 6 months still did not get out, instead stayed aboard the big boat, floating around quietly and aimlessly, finally came to rest on its edge of a mountain range, still floating at the tops of the mountains. This is the way it was for them. Anxiously did Noah and his family watch the decrease of the waters. He desired to go forth upon the earth again. Now the earth waters were receding. Genesis 8:5, the waters continued to recede, and then the tops of the mountains became visible. I guess the water was very high in that mountain area, probably some other areas around the world as well, though perhaps not all of it. The big boat was up near the top of a mountain range. There was a lot of water yet to drain out. Then Noah sent out some different birds to find what vegetation there was there, and the birds, one after the other, returned to the ark because they did not find any tree to rest in. They came back to the big boat. Now, the first bird that was sent out was the raven, Genesis 8, 6 and 7, King James Version. It came to pass at the end of 40 days, another 6 weeks after the tops of the mountains were seen, that Noah opened the window of the ark, that's at the top edge of the big boat, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, the Bible says. It was sent out from the boat, flew around looking for somewhere to settle, didn't find anything, came back to the big boat, and did this two or three times. I read the information here that is given. 40 days after the tops of the mountains, not the bottoms, the tops of the mountains became visible. Where are we up to? Yes, 40 days after the tops of the mountains became visible, they sent out a raven. Why? It was a bird of quick scent. Yes, does the crow, the raven, not eat dead animals? And it was of quick scent, to discover whether the earth had yet become dry. This bird, finding nothing but water still, continued to fly back and forth, to and from the ark. I read on in the Bible, Genesis 8, verses 8 and 9. Then he, that is Noah, sent forth a dove. Now note that the Bible tells us it was a female dove. Then he sent forth a female dove, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, the Bible says. Genesis chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Noah sent forth a dove, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. 7 days later, patriarchs and prophets, that's another week later, a dove, the same one, was sent forth, which, still finding no footing, returned to the ark. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released that same dove again, the Bible says. Genesis 8:11. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Noah waited, we read, 7 days longer. Yes, the Bible says that. And again sent forth this same dove. When she, patriarchs and prophets, when she returned that evening with an olive leaf in her mouth, there was great rejoicing in the ark. At last, something out there was beginning to grow again. Did that love go out, pick a leaf from a sapling olive tree, and then return to the boat and gloriously declare unto Noah, the boat captain, "Hey, look, Mr. Noah, I'm bringing you an olive leaf just to show you that vegetation is beginning to grow again." I don't think so. That was a female dove. I would suggest that this dove was getting clucky and she needed to build a nest in which to lay some eggs. There was no tree out there to build a nest in, just a small new olive sapling. She snapped off a leaf, flew back to the ark to build her nest there. The third flight of the female dove, Genesis chapter 8, reading verse 12. Noah waited another 7 days, another week, and then released this dove again. This time, it did not come back. There is progress for the travelers. Now, what was the magnitude of this tremendous, horrendous event? First of all, the waters. Genesis chapter 7, verse 20, the mountains were covered as the waters surged above them more than 20 feet. Obviously, it was not that deep all the time on top of every mountain. There was obvious movement. The mountains were covered as the waters surged above them more than 20 feet. The loftiest heights were at last reached, and man and beast alike perished by the waters of the flood, those who were outside. In many hills, in many places, hills and mountains had disappeared, leaving no trace where they once stood, and plains had given place to mountain ranges. It was higher than the Rockies, Himalayas, Mount Everest, Ayers Rock, South American Andes. What about the wind? Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 says, God sent a wind over the earth. Patriarchs and Prophets 108. A violent wind moved with great force. In some instances, it even carried away the tops of the mountains. A wind that storm, that high, that strong. I understand that the highest winds in the United States are at the top of some of the mountains, sometimes as high as 500, at a speed of 500 miles an hour. On occasions, this apparently has been registered. This wind that rocked the earth after the waters had fallen and were diminishing a little, it blew off some of the tops of the mountain ranges. Unbelievable. It was cosmic geography, a most horrendous magnitude. A violent wind moved with great force, in some instances even carrying away the tops of the mountains. The results of the flood? At the flood, the surface of the earth was broken up. The whole surface of the earth was changed at the flood. Whatever in imagination could bring events of this magnitude to that which took place upon earth? It has been suggested. These are some of the geographic items of information. According to some of the information in the Bible, the sun was created at creation, the original creation, and the sun back then was brighter than it is now. It was diminished at the flood. It will be switched off during the millennium, the Bible indicates. And in the new earth, I read here Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, quoting the Bible, King James Version, in the new earth, the sun will be seven times brighter than it is now. What about the moon? Genesis seems to indicate that back at the beginning, the moon was a luminous body, self-lit body, self-luminous creation, switched off at the flood. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26 says that when we get into the new earth, that the moon will be as bright as the sun is now. What about planets? It's an interesting thing, but amongst the ancient Sumerian people, way back there, before the time of the Egyptian and the Jewish peoples, way back there, back at that time, they have found some of these clay maps of the area and of the sun and the moon and the stars, and they seem to indicate that there were two more planets back then than there are at the present time. And ancient Sumerian legends even gives them names. They were named in the 1800s by astronomers as Nibiru and Phaethon, and these two planets. The ancient stories from Sumeria, written in clay tablets, tell us that these two planets collided in an era back there and broke into millions of pieces. And we have around the our Earth and the planetary systems here a list of the larger asteroids and smaller multitudes of them. In the year 2000, astronomers in the United States listed 1.7 million larger asteroids and multitudes of smaller ones in the asteroid belt around the Earth. Meteors, meteorites, meteoroids, asteroids, fireballs, shooting stars, falling stars, and comets. Approximately 50,000 meteorites have been found upon planet Earth. Impact craters. Massive impact craters. There's one in the north of the state of Indiana. There's about 190 of them, where apparently some asteroid of a major magnitude has struck the Earth in its earlier time. There are impact craters upon the moon, several thousand of them, and you can see some of them without a telescope, and you can see hundreds of them with the use of a telescope. Check Wikipedia, they will tell you the same information. And it appears that the Earth was turned off, as is suggested, at the time of the flood, and centrifugal force caused the massive underground water systems to splurge out and smashed up the surface of the Earth. And as it resettled, we have these tectonic plates. This is the information that has been suggested. Now, as the people left the ark, what did they discover? Genesis chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, King James Version. God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go forth out of the ark and bring forth with you every living thing." That's logical anyway. Patriarchs and Prophets 105. At last, an angel descended from heaven, opened the massive door, and bade the patriarch and his household go forth upon the earth and take with you every living thing. So they opened the cage doors in the ark and let everything come out, animals and birds, let them exit the big boat in one mighty, unholy stampede. I don't think so. No, 1 year earlier, it had taken a whole week for all of the animals and birds to enter the big boat and to settle them in their cages. It must have taken again several days for the orderly departure of these animals and birds and insects and all of the creatures that they had there to make their departure from the boat. Patriarchs and Prophets, and the Bible says the same thing. Noah's first act after leaving the ark was to build an altar, and there they worshiped God. Now, we have the information regarding conditional prophecy. You know the story of Jonah and Nineveh. And God gave him a message to carry to Nineveh. He spent 40 days preaching, and these people repented of their evil ways, these Arabs, and God gave them 40 years, one day for a year. But the condition that is applicable in circumstances of this nature is if the people who are involved in the circumstances will turn to the God of heaven, then he will change the punishment situation. Patriarchs and Prophets 97. If the antediluvians, that does not mean the people who were against the flood, anti with an E means before. You've got Latin and Greek in that same syllable. If the antediluvians had believed the warning that Noah presented and repented of their evil deeds, the Lord would have turned aside his wrath. There would have been no flood. Now we have prophecies for the last days. Is the human race going to turn from their evil ways? The second advent would be different. But no, we know they won't. Many will come out of the evil ways of the human race upon planet Earth, but most won't. And so the second advent and the events beforehand will play out as they are given in the writings. What was life like out there when they got out of the big boat? We have seen pretty pictures, not photographs, because nobody had a camera back then, but pretty artistic pictures showing the sun shining brightly, the earth growing its trees and vegetation and flowers as normal. But in spite of the fact that the picture is very pretty, maybe that was not the condition at the time. Remember, Earth had undergone cosmic geography of a most horrendous magnitude. I read, the entire surface of the earth was changed at the flood. As the waters began to subside, the hills and mountains were surrounded by a vast, turbid sea. The earth presented an appearance of confusion and desolation impossible to describe. The mountains, once so beautiful in their perfect symmetry, had become broken and irregular. Stones, ledges, ragged rocks were now scattered upon the surface of the earth. All around them appeared like a sea of roiled water or soft mud. That's interesting. Not a clear, saltless ocean, fresh rainwater, but it looked like roiled water or soft mud. When they got out of the big boat, it was just slushy mud everywhere. Planet Earth was turned off its orbit. Massive convulsions had to settle down from the monstrous storm. And that's where we leave the story of our travelers. 1 year in the boat and associated with it, and then getting out. But what did they have to come to? No city, no buildings, nothing growing upon planet Earth. when they first got out of the boat, they still had to live in the boat. What did they eat? Nothing growing, not a single plant anywhere that they could use for food. They had to use leftover dried food that was still within the ark. But we leave the story there. Next week, or next occasion, it will be the story of what happened after they got out of the boat. I read Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. God says, I have set my rainbow in the clouds to be a sign of my promise to the earth. Now, that happened as rain was falling upon those people after the flood. Not massive flood rain, but now normal rainfall as we are familiar with today. But God gave them the promise, I have set my rainbow in the clouds to be a sign of my promise to the earth. What was God's promise? The promise of salvation for each and every person who accepts the ministry of Jesus and his lordship over our lives. God promised there would be no worldwide flood again, and he promised salvation to all believers. God intended that every human being born upon planet Earth would receive eternity, and that would be fulfilled if the people accepted the ways of salvation, turned from their ways, and followed obediently the God of heaven. We have come to the end of our worship on this particular occasion. Next time, the world after the flood. And we sang our opening hymn in a response to our worship today, a hymn expressing our worship before the Lord. We want to turn in the hymn books now to our final hymn for our worship, which is number 633, When We All Get to Heaven. All believers will be taken ultimately to heaven. No, we don't go there when we die. We go there when we have been resurrected or translated, whichever the case may be. Number 633, When We All Get to Heaven.
Please stand.